This is the Neil Evans Says podcast.
I think in soft ground, as we should get drawn further out, I think this is Gold Trip's race to win here third up.
But Gold Trip is brave. 100 to go. A length and a half emissary. Gold Trip is going to win the Lexus Merman Cup. Gold Trip wins it.
This week, Neil Evans Says.
I think she's one of the best bets on a big carnival day. Number three, Pavitra.
Pavitra at the 200, two lengths in front. Cool Die couldn't match the sprint of Pavitra, who's off and gone with the Kembla Grange Classic, and it will make a mess of them. Eased up, Pavitra walks in, one by four.
Hello and welcome to the Neil Evans Says podcast. Champion jockey Nash Rawilla is standing by to give us some insights into his runners at Rosehill Gardens this Saturday. The world famous Sydney Autumn Carnival continues, and Neil is also going to try and find us some winners for the Tullock Stakes, the Emancipation Stakes, the Vinery Stud Stakes and the Tancred Stakes, and we'll finish off with a preview of the Australian Cup at Flemington. But first of all, let's get to the champ, Nash Rawilla. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning, fellas. How are you?
I'm good, Nash. Neil here, joining Matt on the Neil Evans Says podcast. We're going to look at some what is another great book of rides for you, Nash, at Rose Hill. Always great to catch up. You've got a, I noticed you've got a wedge in Moonee Valley on Friday night as well, so it never stops, mate. But you were telling me about how you've got to shed some kilos to get down to these set weight races, which do come around at carnival time. Now, mate, I'm sure it doesn't get any easier the older you get. But is there any secret? Is there an Enrawilla little sort of menu secret to making sure you nail that weight every time?
Look, I'm lucky. Got a pretty good cook, my wife. she's good at, you know, preparing nice food that I enjoy eating, whether it be sort of seafood or nice soups or whatever. Apart from that, really, with me, at least this time of year with the warmer weather, I generally sweat quite good. I rug up in a fair bit of clothing and pound the pavement and in my sweat gear.
Yeah, I'm always intrigued, mate, because I remember Darren Beedman telling me about 20 years ago. His go-to was frozen grapes and black coffee. He reckons that was the perfect balance for keeping up the strength but shedding the weight. Would you go along with that?
I think I'd find something that's better than that. But, tried everything. I think I've actually got some grapes in the freezer at the moment. But yeah, anything just to wet your whistle a bit.
And what about time in the sauna, Nash? Do you have to spend a lot of time?
Yeah, no. Like I said, I try not to sauna as much as I probably used to when I was a kid. But more so just with exercise and sweating it with my sweat gear on that I'm wearing. And yep. I find that keeps me fitter and also mentally a bit fresher as well, you know, than sitting in a sauna.
Yeah, it's a fine balance for sure, but you've done it plenty of times and I'm sure you'll be ready to go for the big day at Rose Hill. Let's get into some of these rides, Nash. In the Group 2 Tullock Stakes, of course, this Kiwi for Andrew Forsman, Full of Sincerity. Do you know much about the horse? I know it's coming back from a big run, a close-up effort in the New Zealand Derby. So back in trip 400 metres crossing the Tasman, how do you see this horse performing?
Oh, he's obviously got great ability. Thought it was a terrific run in the Derby over there in New Zealand. Obviously set for the Derby here now and has a run leading into it. So obviously it'd be nice to give him a good ride and have him in a winning position with a furlong to go and hopefully he can get the job done.
He's by Puccini, level weights, and obviously we're probably going to be a 5-6 type soft ground. So he's got a few things in his favour.
Yeah, I think I'll go back onto Mark Lane in the Derby, which I'm really looking forward to. He's right, you know, he actually ran fourth over there, and so this bloke's, you know, on paper got slightly better form. So been lucky enough to get both mounts over the next couple of weeks.
Now the Group 2 Emancipation Stakes, I'm intrigued here. Look, I keep looking at the race and thinking of Tissue first up, the horse you're on here, the ex-Kiwi that's been with Waller now for some time. Particularly looking at that second trial, do you think she's forward enough, strong enough at this stage of her career to win first up?
Yeah, look, I think with her, it's sort of more just getting it right on the day than anything else. Strong mile probably suits her. You know, on a day she can do almost anything, can't she?
Yeah. Yep.
Nice and fresh, and she'll be keen to get back to the races with the master, Chris Waller. So, you know, we all know Chris's horses normally improve during their preparation, but he's obviously had this race in mind for her first up, and I'm sure she'll be fit enough to get the job done if we can get the right run.
Yeah, you talk about her Tissue and what she can do, and I just you probably saw that second trial where she sort of pulled an over-raced a little bit early, but just like the way she kept picking up under a good hole to get through the line, she's just one of those really tough mares that, you know, she was a dominant Group 2 winner down at Flemington in the spring. So You just do you get the feeling, mate, that she just if she's travelling well, if she gets into any sort of rumble and she's still there whacking away, she will find the line, won't she?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, she's sort of one of those mares. Been a little bit freakish on occasion, so hopefully today's one of those times.
Now, the Tancred Stakes, Group 1, of course, the old BMW from way back, now called the Tancred Stakes, 2,400 metres. There's a bit of quality in this from the stain. But you're on Vow and Declare. It was a flat time after winning the 2019 Melbourne Cup, but you just get the feeling Vow and Declare, two runs back, has beaten all bar the winner. Good enough, do you think? I mean, he's improving. He's getting back. Good enough to beat some of these?
I think he is, yeah. I mean, the 2,400, weight for age, I don't think a problem to him at that trip. Certainly, it's a 2,400. It gives him his chance to really put his hand up and figure he's obviously a great stayer. And I wouldn't say it's one of our strongest BMWs ever. But, yeah, look, I'm really looking forward to the ride. You don't win Melbourne Cup unless you're a really top horse. I mean, when he won it, he carried, you know, a decent weight too. It wasn't light. I think he might have carried 54 or 5. So, it's got to put him up there with a chance now that he's right back in form and ready to win.
Well, I think it's his first time in Sydney too, so you get the honour there, Nash, of riding a Melbourne Cup winner. And I would think you'd want a boots and all type staying race, wouldn't it? Because he's one of those horses now, Vow and Declare, he can take a long time to wind up. But if he's given time to wind up, and it is a real staying contest, he will be whacking away hard. So I guess you'd like to see the gloves come off at about the 1,000-metre mark.
Yeah, well, actually, just watching during the week, Freemason and Northerly fight out that famous many years ago now. Something like that, if we could be running third and behind two like that, we'd be pretty happy, you know, with 600 to go, two cutting at each other, and we're just there and behind them.
Just finally, now we're going to get to the Vinery Stud Stakes for the three-year-olds at level weights. Might not win the race, Call Die Nash, but you'll be certainly on the best-bred horse going around in Australasia, surely. Sumsy, this horse, Call Die, won two back, I think, and it probably sort of peaked on the run at Kembla, but this has been the mission. This horse is by Frankel, the great unbeaten Frankel.
Right.
Out of Samantha Miss, who's about, I don't know, four or five-time Group 1 winner, the great mare. Mm. It's just incredible. Incredible pedigree both sides, Nash. So she's royally bred. Could she put in a royal performance?
Well, certainly hoping so. Yeah, look, she's always shown great ability. Like even last start there, she just sort of got a little bit up on the chewy and sort of Tyler was forced to come off heels and ended up sort of creeping into the race 3 and 4 wide, which, you know, obviously you don't want to do before the corner there at Kembla Grange.
Yeah.
But she was always quite vulnerable. But yeah, look, she's another one. If I can just sort of switch her off and get the right run, and, you know, I'd imagine I'd probably rather be riding a little bit more quieter than forward in this sort of company and race and trip. And she could definitely be competitive. If I can just sort of just really reserve her energy till late, she'll be jumping out of the ground.
All right, Nash, thanks for joining us. As I say, a very, very busy time of the year, mate. It's always great to catch up, and a very, very forward book of rides at Rose Hill, not just those in the market, but those out in double-figure odds as well. So the punters will no doubt look strong and hard. Great to catch up, mate, as always. Thanks for joining us on the podcast, and on behalf of me and Sumsy, we always will wish you well, mate.
Thanks very much for that. Appreciate it.
Okay, now let's have a deeper look at Rosehill Gardens races 3, 6, 7 and 8. The track is a soft 5 for Saturday, the rail at 5 metres at the 1400 and 4 metres for the remainder. What do you read of that, Neil?
Yeah, that's going to be tricky, the rail out there, and it's a bit wishy with the weather, but I think it's, you know, it's spasmodic, the rain, but I think a soft 5 is about the mark. But the way Rosehill is, I'd be very much looking for horses, certainly no further than 2 lengths off the speed early.
Well, a little rain around Sydney today and over the next couple of days leading into race day, 3 to 7 millimetres each day, and showers forecast for Saturday afternoon. So it's definitely going to be soft out there. Race 3 is where we're going to pick it up, the $250,000 Group 2 Tullock Stakes at set weights for 3-year-old colts and geldings over 2,000 metres out of the gates at 120. Neil, the Tullock Stakes is a key lead up to the Group 1 Australian Derby over the mile and a half to be run at the Championships next week. Nash Rawilla on the favourite, number one, Full of Sincerity at $3.70 with Tab.
Yes, and as we know, Nash telling the podcast, he's got plenty of time for Full of Sincerity, trained by Andrew Forsman. This is the horse that's just got better as it's come up through distances across the Tasman. Close up, very close up in the New Zealand Derby. My concern coming back, crosses the Tasman, comes back 400 metres, the 2,000 of the Tullock, before it takes aim at the Derby. I think it'll be right there, and I think just on class alone it'll be there. I don't think it's a super strong addition of the Tullock, but the horse I like is number 4, Stroke of Luck. I think it peaking beautifully fourth up here for the O'Shea stable with a UK jockey Tommy Marquin riding inside gate, so the pattern might be in play early here. May have to just nudge away from the fence, but I'm happy to be from gate one. And I think that topped it off nicely. That BM78 run, beaten only a length. This is a step up, but I think there's a sense of timing here. Number four, Stroke of Luck, to win the Group 2 Tullock Stakes. I'm leaving in number one, Full of Sincerity, to run second. And three, Major Beal, for that very successful combination of Gay and Adrian Bott and Tim Clark in the saddle, to run third. So I think the saddle cloths near the top dominate this one, Sumsy. Four, Stroke of Luck, to beat one, Full of Serenity, and three, Major Beal.
That's race three at Rose Hill. The Tullock Stakes, Neil's tips are 4, 1, and 3. Race six, the $250,000 Group 2 Emancipation Stakes, set weights for fillies and mares 3 years and up, 1,500 metres. Last year's winner, Promise of Success, back for another crack at $15 with Tab. But the favourite in a big field of 19 runners, Neil, is number six, Stakeman, at $4.80.
Yes, now this is part of a very strong Joseph O'Brien team coming from Ireland. Stakeman, it's fresh, of course, hasn't run for 5 or 6 months since our spring. Look, I think it's under the odds in this race. Again, it's not super strong, but I just want to have a look at Stakeman one time. I think second run here will be the time to be on. We spoke to Nash about what a tissue can do. This horse is New Zealand. It's a year older, but I'm still taken by that second trial. The way she was off the bit early, but there was pressure inside and out, and she was probably entitled just to let him go, but she wanted to find the line. She got through it well. We know she's handy first up, but the big thing is the soft track. She wants the cutout. I think a tissue can win first up, and you're going to get around about that $12 mark. So I think it's fabulous value. Number four, a tissue to win the Emancipation. Big watch on another one from the Andrew Forsman camp in New Zealand is number two, Mustang Valley. Third up, I think this is a horse well over the odds as well, despite the wide gate. And number six, Statement, in for third there. But certainly I love this value to win at Sumsy. Number four, a tissue.
Neil's tips for race six at 3:20. The Emancipation Stakes are 4, 2, and 6. Race seven, the $600,000 Group 1 Vinery Stud Stakes, set weights for three-year-old fillies, 2,000 metres. Previous winners include Miss Finland in 2007. Hey, Jonesy would have been celebrating with the Shivers Regal that day.
Oh, big time.
And very elegant in 2019. Fangirl won it last year. The favourite with Tab is number one, Prowess, with Mark Zara on board at $2.50. What's your form line for this one going into the Vinery, Neil?
Yeah, look, she's a very good Prowess. We know that. That's obvious. She's won all four starts this year across the Tasman. The most recent was the Group 1 Bone Crusher. She was odds on that day and expected to win well. The thing is, apart from one race, which I think was the Group 2 Fillies Classic, she's only just beaten them, like under a length, that sort of margin. So she hasn't dominated that much. She comes across the Tasman. To me, around that 250 mark, she's a mile under the odds. She's classy for sure. And I wouldn't want to tip you off, but I'd much rather be on number three, Pavitra. I think this is the most progressive horse in the race. I love the second up win at Kembla. She found another gear and just waltzed away to win by four lengths. I thought that was a smart win. And you're talking about a horse that was beaten only a length in the Group 1 Victoria Derby in spring. So no worries at all getting up to 2,000 metres now. In fact, I think it's lovely timing third up in the prep. I think she's one of the best bets on a big carnival day. Number three, Pavitra, to win. Look, at massive value. Again, we were talking to Nash about Call Die. Fourth up, it was a bit flat the last 150 at Kembla on that same day, chasing home Pavitra. Getting to 2,000 metres for this beautifully bred galloper, I think, is ideal, and a massive price can run a really big race. Number eight, Call Die.
$18.
I don't think you'll see that by the jump, but look, entitled will be double figures, but not that much. Leave Prowess from the good gate, the Kiwi for Roger James and Wellwood, in for third. So, but again, Pavitra, number three to one to beat for me.
That's race seven, the Vinery Stud Stakes. Neil's tips are 3, 8, and 1. Race eight, the big one, the $1.5 million Group One Tancred Stakes. Weight for age, 2,400 metres, racing at 4:40. One of the great staying races in Australia, with the winner exempt for the autumn's richest race, the Queen Elizabeth Stakes, on April 8 during the championships. Named after Henry Eugene Tancred, former chairman of the Sydney Turf Club from 1897 to 1961. 64 years running the joint, Neil. How about that for a career?
They were hard to get rid of back then, mate. I tell you, they one in all. See, they had the one in all in policy.
I think they had a bar up in the boardroom, and he just couldn't get out of there.
That's right. This is a club, and unless we invite you in, no one's allowed.
Yeah. It was just free flowing.
Yes.
Joyce won it last year. Previous winners include an all-star cast, Might and Power, Maccabi Diva, Hyperno, Kingston Town. Octagonal won it twice in 96-97. Tie the Knot won it twice in 99-2000. Cox Plate winner Sir Dragonite in 2021 and very elegant in 2020. Mm. Neil, Gold Trip is the favourite with Tab, $4.20.
Yes, that's plenty for me. Gold Trip third up. I do like the horse, the Melbourne Cup winner, of course, from last spring. You mentioned all those winners. It's always been a really, really good weight for age horses race. Probably come off a little bit in the last couple of years. The key for me, Gold Trip. The run first up at Sandown took a long time to wind up, as you'd expect, being the type of horse Gold Trip is. Wasn't suited second up at Rose Hill. Had to come through under horses from a fair way back, and I just think the track was way too hard for Gold Trip. I think in soft ground, as we should get, drawn further out, I think that this is Gold Trip's race to win here third up. The Tancred Stakes. Look, there's any number of rivals. I think one way over the mark is number 5, Arapahoe. For Bjorn Baker, who was dominant in winning the Canberra Cup. Now, the Canberra Cup's a lot less a race than what we're seeing here, but the way Arapahoe swept around and just put him to the sword pretty easily, and we know it's a horse that's, you know, as the distances go up, it's just going to get better and better. I think it's over the odds, number 5, Arapahoe. And Vow and Declare, as Nash said, look, you know, 2 runs back have been solid, been rock solid. The old boy didn't win for a long time after the Melbourne Cup, but I just got the feeling he's regathering slowly that best form. And I think he'll settle back. And I do think this race will be on in earnest by the 1,000-metre mark, and that'll suit Vow and Declare. But I think it's Gold Trip. I think he's the one to beat, number 1, to win the Group 1 Tancred, to beat Arapahoe, number 5, and in for third, the 2019 Melbourne Cup winner, Vow and Declare.
Neil's tips are race 8, number 1, Gold Trip, number 5, Arapahoe, and number 3, Vow and Declare. Let's head to Flemington. The track is a good 4 for Saturday. The rail out 8 metres, Neil.
Yes, that would suggest, particularly on these circle races, that you don't want to get too far back. So there's going to be a lot of jostling in traffic, but that's a fair way out. A bit disappointed it's out that far for a big day like this. But don't be surprised, Sumsy, if you see plenty of horses back in the field, get on their bike earlier than normal.
A couple of light showers around in Melbourne, but mostly cloudy in a top of 24 race day. Race 7, we're going to have a look at the $3 million Group 1 Australian Cup. Weight for age for 3 years and up, 2,000 metres, racing at 4.20. And Neil, the horse you've been very keenly following, number 1, Cascadian, the favourite with Tab at $3.50, ahead of number 3, Moonga, at $7.
As you know, Sumsy, a massive fan of Cascadian. The run in the All-Star Mile to run within under a length of Mr. Brightside was fabulous. Under the big weight, to get through that traffic on a turning track was huge. As much as I like the 8-year-old, I can't quite warm to it. 7 days later, stepping up to the 2,000 metres. I know the Flemington form's good, and he is just a wonderful carnival horse, and he's still lightly raced for his age, we know. I was hoping or banking on him coming back 2 weeks between runs to the Doncaster that he won a couple of years ago. So he may even do that. They might just keep backing him up. But anyway, they've chosen Flemington, the Australian Cup. We'll get back. He's a horse that will need to get on his bike earlier than normal. I think he's under the odds. He's a chance, but he's under the odds. The one that is way over the odds for me is number 14, Steinem. I don't think this is a flash Australian Cup. And around the $13, $14 mark for the Mar Eustace camp, he comes off a pretty good win, I thought, last day. He's been given 4 weeks since that was the Group 2 Peter Young over 1,800 metres. So just 4 weeks between runs I like, and I like the fact now he's getting to 2,000 metres at Flemington. And he is a horse that will try and work across and sit no worse than midfield. And I think that's, you don't want to be too further back than that where the rail is. So at massive value, Sumsy, I do like number 14, Steinem, to win it. In for second is number 1, Cascadian, the class runner up there at the top. And don't leave out number 4, Nonconformist, who was good first up. Tricky gate, but I think Graham Begg's got this horse going better than ever. So nice and wide in this one, Sumsy. 14, Steinem at the big value to beat 1, Cascadian, and Nonconformist in for third.
Race 7, the Australian Cup at Flemington. Neil's tips, 14, 1 and 4. This is the Neil Evans Says podcast. You can follow Neil on Twitter and get more racing info and tips for all the big regional races in New South Wales. Neil's Twitter handle is at Neil Evans Mail. You can also read Neil's weekly racing preview in The Sportsman, Australia's most authoritative racing journal. Audio at the start of the podcast, courtesy of RSN and Racing New South Wales. Please gamble responsibly. We release the podcast every Friday by 12 p.m, even earlier on a Thursday sometimes, if Neil and I can get out of bed, if we're not feeling too lazy.
Yes.
So if you follow us, you know, on your podcast platform, you'll get an automatic notification that it's time to you know, go and listen to the Neil Evans podcast. It's kind of like the notification you get from your wife.
It's time.
That
could come in any form or shape. What are you still laughing? I was wondering where you're going with that.
The notification, from your wife.
Yeah, notification.
I get notifications constantly.
Yeah, they go right back to the saucepan days. But anyway, look, a fabulous Saturday. It was great to have Nash on the show, of course.
That's right. It's over.
Oh, right. It's over.